Dr. Shames, welcome back to The Exchange.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Glad to be here.
What's the status report? What's the mood at the moment?
Wow. It's very vaccine focused. We're trying really hard to get as much vaccine out to as many arms as quickly as possible, and really that's my primary focus for sure.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the avenues? What are some of the levers you have to be able to make that happen?
So the issue starts with guidance, which is people that have given this a lot of thought, looking at the really big picture, who recommend to us how to utilize the vaccine that we get. And then the vaccine gets allocated, and we are not always aware of who's going to get how much when, who being hospitals or public health or federally qualified health centers. And so there's a process, and although my perception is that we're all trying to move as quick as we can, when you step back, it's still too slow. So you somehow have to create systems that are safe and make sense at the same time you're really rushing to get vaccine in arms. I think we have our feet under us now, and we are strategizing with our community partners to get some really large-scale vaccine clinics up and running. We already have some up and running, but we want to increase the scale.
Mm-hmm. So does the health department have its own stock, or is it going to have its own stock at some point?
We have our own stock. It's pretty small compared to what the hospitals have, for example. And we don't perceive ourselves as being efficient enough to get as much vaccine out as should be. So we are doing our best to get our stock into the hands of others, like federally qualified health centers, and or using our stock to vaccinate those that don't have ready access to a source of vaccine. So in order to get a vaccine, for example, you have to sign up with the state, and then they will send the vaccine to you. And so, for example, if you're in urgent care, you would receive the vaccine, and you would at least start by vaccinating all of your staff. But if you don't get it, then, or you have to wait a week for it, then public health will send the vaccine to them, because we know that they have to get their staff vaccinated. And that's been the process we've been doing for the last couple of weeks.
So public health functions as more or less a backup for the other frontline providers?
Kind of. Every community has to assess what's going to work for them. For some communities, especially smaller ones, public health could really take the major role. Everybody kind of comes to them, and they set up vaccine clinics and pods. And I think other communities, especially larger ones, that might not be the most efficient way. Public health can coordinate, assist, kind of step back and see where the vaccine is going or not going. But a lot of the actual vaccine into arms is going to be more efficiently done by the hospitals, federally qualified health centers, urgent care, that sort of thing.
It's been interesting to watch how different communities do this, because I know there was the picture that I looked at this morning of the parking lot at the stadium in San Diego with all the tents set up. So the idea is not just in San Diego, but in several other cities as well, to distribute the vaccines at these mass situations where people will gather in sports stadium, arena parking lots. So I think what I hear you saying is that's not necessarily the kind of thing that would happen in a smaller community like Jackson County.
No, actually, we're planning something very similar.
Really?
So we're hoping that we can disseminate the process out such that, depending on who you are and what your resources are, there's a way for you to get vaccinated. So, if you're in the upper rogue, we're hoping that there can be a vaccination site near you, and it may be fairly small scale. If you're in the Medford area, you may be able to go to a drive-through clinic that's going to accommodate, 1,000-plus people a day. And we would like to get as many different options going at the same time as we can.
What do you think? Is there a pretty good set of math guidelines? I mean, aside from the vaccine application guidelines and who should get them, but just the math. I mean, you have to have X number of people, I would think, to be able to give 1,000 doses a day and know what that number is, et cetera.
Yeah, there's a lot of number crunching going on. sometimes you don't foresee the bottlenecks. I mean, for example, you know, in the clinics we're running right now, it looks like the bottlenecks are on the administrative side. That is, the sign up, fill out the forms, you know, kind of moving people through, as opposed to the actual putting the shots in the arms. And the other thing that's a bit unforeseen for me is the number of people who are not currently comfortable getting vaccinated. So, you know, our strategy, I think we talked about this last week, our strategy has to be nimble enough to deal with, you know, what the reality is on the ground.
Mm-hmm. But there are some, I mean, there are some people you're going to work a little harder, I would think, than others, just as a guess, that some people, because of their particular vulnerability or the fact that they're around other people, you want to make sure that they get vaccinated, despite their reluctance, perhaps. You want to convince them a little more, perhaps?
Yeah, sure. And sometimes people make, you know, rash decisions. We all know this, that, you know, with just another, you know, half a minute of conversation, people say, okay, now I get it and I'll do it. So you're absolutely right.
We are talking to Dr. Jim Shames from Jackson County Health and Human Services once again here on the Jefferson Exchange. You are welcome to join us as we talk about the COVID-19 and vaccines. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Jenny from the Bureau of Labor and Industries in the state of Oregon dropped in with an email to say Boley has released guidance on COVID-19 vaccines in the workplace. You can find more information for workers and for employers and FAQ on our website, and that's oregon.gov/Boley. I will put that up as a link on our website at jeffexchange.org with this week's COVID-19 Q&A piece, so you'll be able to go directly to that. So that's good to hear. Dr. Shames, as far as you mentioned, the great bottleneck is on the administrative side, less than supply. But let's talk about supply. Are the supply chains robust enough to ramp up to the levels at which we need? And in addition to that, the fact that this is a two-part vaccine in the two cases that have been approved so far, is there any issue with people not being able to get their second shot in time?
Yeah. Let me just clarify, Jeffrey, the not getting enough vaccine is a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean to say is that in order to move people through, know what they got, when they got it, they got informed, that takes time. That's the piece.
Mm-hmm.
No, we are definitely up against not enough vaccine, not knowing when it's coming, not knowing how much, and that makes planning and strategy difficult. So I got a little distracted by my answer to your non-question. I think what you're talking about is sort of where are the bottlenecks, and we've got to get more vaccine. And the guidance we've gotten up till now has been a strategy of let's get the healthcare workers and those on the front line, those who have contact with the vulnerable, let's get them vaccinated first. Not a bad idea, but you can stretch that out to the point where, you know, you're losing sight of the most vulnerable people, which is the elderly. And so just today, the CDC announced it's probably going to be shifting its guidance and say, okay, let's move on to those over the age of 65. And personally, I think that's a good idea. And that ought to help us get more vaccine out quickly.
So the priority should be on over 65s before healthcare workers, or are they pretty much equal in priority in your eyes?
Well, we've had weeks now, many weeks now, of prioritizing healthcare workers. And, you know, we've got those strategies figured out, and we've got hospitals getting large amounts of vaccine. And we aren't done with the process. But what I'm saying is, while that process is continuing and is robust, let's get to the most vulnerable and get them vaccinated rather than wait until you're entirely finished with 1A. Let's move on to 2B, I mean, to 1B and 1C, rather.
Mm-hmm. And what are the best venues, you think, for getting the over 65s who are not living in assisted care facilities, particularly because a lot of them, reasonably enough, are a little concerned about going out in public?
Sure. I think I think having many different venues that accommodate many different needs is the way to go. And that for the majority of people, a large mass vaccination clinic that you can go to, drive through, and come back in an hour is probably going to be the way to go. And for others, we're going to need to figure out how to get the vaccine to them. And we have to be able to do all that simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed the WHO, the World Health Organization, saying yesterday that that there will not be herd immunity in this calendar year. They don't see us getting to the point of herd immunity by the end of 2021. We're only 12 days into the year. Are they being premature, or do you think they're on target there?
Well, the more contagious the vaccine is, the more people it's going to take to achieve herd immunity. So, you know, we started saying, well, maybe 60% and then 70% and then 80%. And, you know, that's a big number to achieve herd immunity, especially when you have a significant number of people who don't even want to get vaccinated. And especially since we don't really know whether the vaccine itself will achieve herd immunity. So what we do know is the vaccine will protect you if you get the shot. We just aren't sure if it's going to keep you from spreading it to your loved ones. So I think it is realistic to say, you know, we're not clear that we're going to get herd immunity anytime soon, but we're going to be protecting people. We're going to be reducing hospitalizations and disease burden and getting people out of their houses more. So, I think from what I'm hearing that probably is a realistic estimate that it's quite a ways off.
So if we're talking about the potential for spread to continue then through this year, perhaps by decreasing amounts as time goes on, I mean, in public health then, how do you view the idea of the resumption of gatherings and things like that? I mean, do you foresee or would you recommend any kind of a system in which, like, yeah, you can get together with us, but bring your certificate showing you've been vaccinated?
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't think any of us really know. Mm-hmm. I'm just imagining we're going to loosen up in terms of what we allow ourselves to do over time. I just don't have that answer.
Right. We will see. Dr. Jim Shames, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the medical director at Jackson County Health and Human Services. Your questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Jason in Gold Hill dropped off a question. He says he's in his late 70s. Neither he nor his doctor know where he can go to get the vaccine. Where can he find that info?
Well, the truth is that the vaccine is not open to him yet. I mean, that's my point, is that he really needs to get vaccinated, but we're about to shift gears from healthcare workers, you know, those high-risk individuals, to a larger swath of the population, including those over 75. So that strategy is coming soon, mm-hmm. and we hope that people won't have to struggle to figure out where to go, but there'll be clear guidance on our website. We have some really significant partners. The hospitals, Asante in particular, for example, are really stepping forward, using their large resources to help us as a community to get large numbers of people vaccinated on a regular basis. So we're putting the infrastructure in place, and when the guidance opens up for those over the age of 65, we're hoping that we can, you know, try and accommodate the need.
All right, so just keep checking the county health department website, the COVID-19 page specifically, I would think.
Yes, and we really are trying to bolster the where do you go to get vaccine piece of that website.
Okay. Let's see. Becca in Lane County says, please prioritize younger people who haven't had their lives yet. I'm almost 72, and I want 40-somethings with children and jobs to come before 80-somethings. Is that the kind of thing you would it sounds like counter to what you would say in public health.
Well, I think the younger folks who are at risk of getting COVID and are at risk of passing it on to others, that's certainly a valid point, but the morbidity and mortality is so much higher in the elderly that I don't think it's conscionable to to focus on the younger generation so that they can kind of move forward their lives and just kind of throw away the elderly. We've got to do both, and we really have to be good representatives for those who may not be able to represent themselves so strongly. That is, you know, those who are sheltering at home, those in nursing homes. So I get the point, and I agree with it in some part. For example, you know, the strategy to get our economy back working again is to get, you know, those workers who make it all happen, keep them healthy, keep the healthcare system healthy, keep our teachers healthy. That's good, but we simultaneously have got to bring in those at risk of hospitalization and death.
Okay. Before we go, I want to ask you about just a public health side to the attack on the U.S. Capitol last week. Politics and legal stuff aside, I noticed that we now have at least two members of Congress testing positive for COVID-19 because they were quarantined or stuck in close quarters with people, some of whom not wearing masks.
Yeah, I'm glad that, I mean, there's an awful lot that's very worrisome about what's happening, mm-hmm. but part of it is sort of making people responsible for their irresponsible actions, whether it be, you know, politicians that subvert our democratic principles or people that just are flagrant about not following basic public health safety mm-hmm. measures. So it's a shame it happened, but maybe it'll draw greater attention to those people that don't wear masks in stores and, you know, criticize people that do, because this is really important and we all have to do this together to keep all of us safe.
Okay. Wear masks, wash your hands, and keep your eyes open for the vaccine opportunities. Dr. Jim Shames, Medical Director, Jackson County Health and Human Services. Thank you once again.
You bet. Thanks.
All right.